our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 5, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 5, the first 20 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Most merciful Lord, of the heavens and of the earth, and then it is pleased thee for the second time on this holy day of rest that we and our children may be permitted to come up to thy house. And thou hast declared to the children of Israel that from out of the tabernacle that thou would meet with the children of Israel and that thou would commune with them from off the mercy seat. Wilt thou so remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And then it is a privilege and a blessing when we may be exercised how we do come up to thy courts. Oh, whether there may be that longing and desire for the living God, and that we may be given to resemble oftentimes the Pharisee in the back of the temple with a profound sense of a sinnership and of thy holiness. And may it please thee also to grant in this evening hour that it may be a little preparation for the day of tomorrow, a day that has been set aside, a day of praise and of thanksgiving. And may there be those exercises concerning whether there shall be a meeting with the Lord, the provider of all things, or whether it only shall be form and duty. And then we do well to examine all of our hearts, O Lord, and do remember all the unconverted hearts. May thy word in this evening be used as an arrow in thy hand, that they may be given to see what a terrible thing it is to be unconverted. Another season of grace has passed by, and then another day of thanksgiving in an unconverted state without God, without Christ, and without hope. Lord, when there are hardened hearts in our midst, may that also become reality in this hour, and that under all thy goodness and all the solemn callings in our midst, and that our heart remains so hard and only becomes harder and another season closer to that final meeting with our Maker, when there are those careless hearts as with the Galileo that care for none of these things, Lord. May it please thee to also shoot an arrow into their hearts, that it may become reality, and then indeed they shall become caring concerning their soul, concerning thy kingdom, and concerning thy glory. Lord, then we commend unto thee a guilty hearts, unreconciled hearts. Oh, perhaps distressed in this evening hour to stand before an other thanksgiving and no solution, where they cannot deny, poor in spirit, learn to mourn over their sins the meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and thou art not a land of outer darkness for thy people, but it is the work of thy Spirit, that sinners may be reconciled with thee. And to that end, we're also in this evening hour by renewal, we hope to hear of that only name given under heaven, the name of Jesus, whereby we must be saved, Lord. And may it be applied, and then there shall be rejoicing, and then there shall be praise, and then there shall be special reasons for a Thanksgiving day. And then we commend unto thee all the dull hearts, under all thy judgments, under all thy goodness, where it remains all so listless and so impreciousless, that heart remains so stony. And Lord, thou doth have the people who have received a heart of flesh, that is given to complain much of that stony heart, but may it please thee to grant also in this evening hour what a Job has experienced, for God maketh my heart soft, and then the heart cannot bow low enough with a vehement desire that thou may receive the thanks and the praise. We commend unto thee questioning hearts, perhaps unsubmissive hearts, that perhaps with the Job the Lord is given and the Lord is taken, but where they can come no further, do uphold them and grant a place at thy footstool, Lord. Leave us then not in this evening cold, unmoved and untouched, but may it please thee to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Wilt thou further instruct thy Zion in the things of the Lord? And may it please thee to richly bless the means of grace amongst us and our children. Do help fathers and mothers to that end. Do remember and help the consistory, where an other season of many labors shall commence. May the consistory experience thy special help, thy special favor, and thy special blessing, that thy word may be richly blessed, and bless the labors in our Christian school, the school board, the administration, the staff, the students, the bus drivers, the volunteers, we commend them all unto thee. And so we commend thy church all over the earth unto thee, the established churches. Remember our theological school, the teachers and the students. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, also with all the enmity that comes against them. May they be given to cry unto thee, and teach them by thy Spirit concerning the Messiah. Remember our mission field, the established congregations, the mission post. Remember thy servant, the team, the husband and the wife who are learning that other language. Do continue to help and to encourage them where there are times that it can be so overwhelming, but may they experience that thou knowest of them. And then we commend unto thee the group in Peru, and may it please thee to graciously provide. We commend unto thee the handicapped, the blind daughter, who in the day of tomorrow hopes to commemorate another birthday, wonderfully spared and kept until this very moment. Lord, may the prayers be multiplied. May she be given to be as that Bartimaeus, begging of thee for the opening of eyes. The most important is those spiritual eyes, that we may learn who we are, who thou art, and that thou hast given thy dear Son. May it please thee to grant a blessing. Wilt thou remember her together with her parents and family circle? We commend unto thee two widows who hope to commemorate their birthday, the one widow by renewal, and the other widow who has become very old for the first time, but also by renewal, where for the second time she has become a widow. And then we commend her unto thee for body and soul. Wilt thou so remember all the mourning ones in our midst, where there are so many, the thought shall multiply, a day of thanksgiving approaching. We commend all the family circles unto thee. Wilt thou uphold and wilt thou strengthen? We remember all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, the residents, and those that may lovingly care for them. Do remember the sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter, the mother who may be home for a few days, those taking treatments, those that have difficulties of the body and difficulties of the mind. Remember the crosses, the burdens, Lord. May all the losses and all the trials and troubles in this life, may it bring us closer to thy word and closer to thy throne. May there be a bearing of one another's burdens, and that the trials may be as a savior to life and not a savior unto death. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we now humbly ask thee by renewal that thou may grant thy gracious help, that thy word may go forth with power divine, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name, O Lord. Nothing to plead upon may we be given to resemble, can try to act, can try to speak as the publican, but may we be given by thy Spirit to truly resemble the publican, God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the only hope, the only expectation for us and our dear children. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat, and what follows, Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas. Thank you. this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text, for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, the question and answers 86 and 87. Question 86. Since then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? Answer. Because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Question 87. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? Answer, by no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Our text words speak good works in the part of thankfulness. Three thoughts. First, good works are wrought by Christ. Secondly, good works are advantageous. And in the third place, good works are indispensable. Good works in the part of thankfulness. Good works are wrought by Christ. Good works are advantageous. And good works are indispensable. Thus first, good works are wrought by Christ. Beloved congregation, we read over this Lord's Day the third part of thankfulness. Then also in this Lord's Day, already in question 86, then it also speaks of the first two parts of misery, deliverance, and then thankfulness. Then in the providence of the Lord, what a fitting Lord's Day for the evening before we hope to come up to God's house in the day of tomorrow for a day of thanksgiving. And young and old, may I ask you, has there not already been some preparation concerning Thanksgiving Day. The Lord not only requires our gifts, but He requires our hearts. Are there souls that are troubled with the matter? Oh, what a privilege it is when the Lord grants those special Thanksgiving days in between the seasons, when He has given particular blessings, temporal blessings, but above all spiritual blessings. But for the true child of God, also a privilege when they may become exercised concerning a day that is set aside in our country, and how the child of God can see it, where they ought to come, where they must come, what the Lord requires, but where they feel so poor, and then a blessing when the need may be bound upon the heart, and that they are given to beg, because the Lord has said unto the children of Israel, when the tabernacle would be built, that it would be a place that the Lord would meet with them, and that He would commune with them from off the mercy seat. Then the Lord requires a broken and a contrite heart. I'll be wondering of the Lord's goodness, and that unto a sinner as I am. Then the Lord requires that we be the publican in the back of the temple, because thereby the Lord is glorified with profound impressions of the holiness of the Lord and of our sinnership. Oh, concerning that preparation, then we do well to examine our hearts, whether we have been reconciled, whether we are included in that number, what we have read together out of God's holy word, because the Lord doth have the people that is poor in spirit, also poor concerning their thanksgiving. The Lord has a people that has learned to mourn over their sins, and over the sins of their fellow travelers. The Lord has a people that has learned to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But are there now also souls that have no solution? Because we have heard out of the Sermon on the Mount that we need a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Oh, are there then a few poor and needy souls that are given to beg? Oh, Lord, may I now on the Sabbath day before Thanksgiving, may I now be given to see Him who has come upon the world to save the chiefest of sinners. And Lord, I am now such a sinner. May then I receive a special blessing and a special reason for Thanksgiving already before Thanksgiving Day of the third part of thankfulness. This Lord's Day speaks of good works. Not the first time in our Heidelberg Catechism we have heard of good works in Lord's Day number 24, and that concerning justification. And then there was asked whether our works could have any part concerning our justification, and then we have heard it forever impossible. But now in this Lord's Day, in Lord's Day number 32, then it concerns sanctification. And now concerning good works, a certain reluctance to that term in opposition to the Roman Catholic Church and those religions that tell us that our good works, that they have a part in our being saved. And there have been those who have learned so clearly that by the works of the law they could not be saved. They were only condemned. And then as a reaction, then they have went too far the other way. Also concerning the part of thankfulness concerning good works. And there are even those that have said when a sinner is saved, then he is finished with the law. But that is contrary to God's word. Even Martin Luther, who has learned it so clearly, that it was grace, free and sovereign grace, then he has not spoken so highly of the book of James, where James in the book of Romans concerns especially the justification, and James speaking of sanctification. And nevertheless, in the Bible, we read that term good works 16 times, and many other terms at that point to the same. We have read together out of Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Acts 9, verse 36, we read of Dorcas that she was a woman full of good works. In Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, their grace is glorified. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not by works, lest man should boast. And then verse 10 follows, a text that is mentioned and quoted much less than the former two. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. And in Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And in James 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not good works, it is dead, being alone. And now the question in this Lord's Day, and then by renewal, O young and old, we have heard it so often from the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, that with their questions and answers, that each time they were given to point to the Son of God as the only way to be saved, that precious Savior may be lifted up, and that is so necessary for poor and needy souls that have learned that they can never save themselves, and with an increasing debt, oh, what a precious Savior for lost, for hell-worthy souls. And then already in the question, then the instructors were given to extol, since then, have heard those words before, think of Lord's Day number 12, since then by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there a way that we may escape punishment and be received into favor? Are there such souls in my midst also on the evening before Thanksgiving Day? And then the instructors, a precious and God-glorifying confession in that question, a sense then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours. What a biblical and God-glorifying confession. And that confession is the only hope for sinners who cannot save themselves. Not so valuable for Pharisees, for the temporal believer, but for those souls that have been wrought upon by the Spirit and deeper uncovered. How they have stressed it, how they have repeated it in different words, merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours. And then the question is, why must we still do good works? That is the crucial point and the crucial question in this Lord's Day. And then it speaks, does not ask whether sinners who have been born again have been wrought upon by the Spirit of Christ, whether they shall perform good works. That is not the question in this Lord's Day, because a good tree shall bring forth good fruit. And therefore the instructors, they are given to stress that good works, that they flow forth from the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, a sinner wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, the love shed abroad in the heart for the Lord and for everything that pertains to the Lord. Why must, and when we speak of good works, then you must not think, my unconverted friends, that that only applies to God's people. Because that demand of the covenant of works has been broken concerning justification. But the Lord still demands that perfect obedience from you and me. Perfect in all aspects. And now concerning the must in the life of the true church at the end of the Sermon in the Mount. Then Christ has spoken of a tree and a good tree that bringeth forth good fruits. We can never make a tree to make it simple, because the catechism is not always so easy to be understood by our boys and girls. But to make it simple, children, let's now think of a family that in the backyard had some apple trees. And on all those trees in the fall, there were beautiful, delicious apples, except one tree. Some of those apples have been picked, and then father and mother, they have spoken, oh, that one tree, they have looked for fruit year after year. Think of Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9 concerning the parable of the fig tree, so also on Thanksgiving Day. Then the Lord is looking for fruit. And then the children saw that father was not so happy with that tree. And then if it came into the mind of those children that they talked together, that when father was gone, they asked mother for some string, and they took some of those apples and they tied them on that tree. Then boys and girls, would that make that tree good and fruitful? And then you can understand it. Then you would say that tree is still unfruitful, still a bad tree, and so it is in this Lord's day. Thus that means, and we hope to hear more thereof concerning what good works really are in the coming Lord's day, but that tells us that the tree needs to be made good. And then that work of free and sovereign grace needs to be glorified in our life. And then the answer, and then by renewal, then the instructor, then he is given to glorify that precious mediator and to show that those good works, that they flow forth from the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And then in the answer, because Christ, having redeemed, he has purchased his people by his blood, he has bought them back and delivered us from sin, from the devil, and from the world. By his blood also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image. Thus justification and sanctification need to be distinguished, and that is for the comfort of the true child of God. As we are instructed in Romans 7, but they may and they can never be separated. And when the instructors speak of a holy must, then in the first place, it is a holy obligation. Were the Lord a triune God, has delivered them from such a misery and from such a death, shall it then not be where the psalmist of Psalm 116 verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? And then in the next place, then there is a holy necessity. It flows forth out of that new nature. To make it simple for our children, when you have a bird, then they sing because the Lord has created them as a bird, and therefore they are given to sing the praises of the Lord, and therefore an holy necessity. In the third place, it is a holy evidence. We have mentioned that good tree. Then a good tree, because it is a good tree, then it must, and then it shall bring forth good fruit. It is true. That good tree, read thereof in John 15, of the vine, then a vine and a tree needs to be pruned much. Painful for the flesh. But the husbandman, in his wisdom, then he prunes that tree according to their needs. Not all trees are pruned the same. Some trees of more wild wood than others. Some of more suckers. Thus each needs to be pruned according to their needs and the purpose, that they may bring forth more fruit. Oh, sometime when you see such a pruner, and we do not have so much knowledge of a vineyard or an orchard, then sometime we can think, pruner, you are pruning that tree too harshly. I am even afraid that the tree must die. But the Lord, as that heavenly husbandman, then he prunes that tree according to their needs, and he does it for his honor and for his glory, and that that tree may bring forth a more fruit. And then in the fourth place, there is a holy desire, because we read, renewed by the Holy Spirit. And then those good works, then they flow forth from love, the love shed abroad in the heart. And it is true, the child of God needs to learn much that they can never merit, but that they are done in the way of thanksgiving. Also renews us by the Holy Spirit after his image. Romans 8, verse 29, then the child becomes conformable to the image of God, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image. Our second thought, good works are advantageous. Let us first sing Psalter 68, the four stanzas. A grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. Psalter 68, the four stanzas. Thank you. works in the part of thankfulness. Good works are wrought by Christ, and now secondly, good works are advantageous. And then the instructors, they have listed three special reasons concerning a godly, a tender, a close, a dependent, a prayerful, and a thankful life at the throne of grace. And then the first reason is that so we may testify. And there are times in the life of the true child of God that there shall be that bewilderment and that humility concerning all which they have received of the Lord, and that they know not how to render thanks for all those blessings, blessings temporal, blessings spiritual. And those are not the worst times in the life of a child of God. And what now does the true child of God learn? What are they taught by the Spirit? That they have none of themselves, but a blessing when they may become exercised, and the need for that precious Christ in his threefold office, that they may be administered to out of heaven and to receive grace for grace, that they may testify. Oh, we have many examples in the Bible. Think of the Psalms 146 through 150, where they begin with "Praise ye the Lord," and where they end with the same words. And boys and girls and young people, then you must not have the thought that this part of thankfulness that belongs only to older people. No, do we not read in Psalm 148 that the psalmist has asked many to join with him? And then we read of young and of the old that they are exhorted to praise the Lord, and that true thanksgiving, that true testifying, then the instructors, they are very practical. Then what have they stated to testify of the goodness of the Lord when we come to church or with our religious duties? And now then the instructors have declared by the whole of our conduct, and then it shall become evident, and that shall arouse to a holy jealousy, that it is seen in our life that we have been wrought upon by the Spirit, that we have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that it grieves the Lord. Then there shall be a hating and a fleeing of sin. And concerning that people, the nominal Christendom, they become the Pharisee. But for the true child of God, the closer life they may have with the Lord, the more that they may learn, the smaller and more humble they become. And then each time by renewal, then the Pharisee needs to become the publican to testify in the whole of our conduct, our gratitude to God for his blessings. Oh, then by renewal, what a fitting Lord's Day for the evening before Thanksgiving Day, people of God, how is it now? Can it be seen by our children, by our youth? Does it arouse to a holy jealousy? Can they be given to see that we are truly travelers to Zion, that we are pilgrims and strangers, and that we are lovers of the Lord, that we have learned to abhor ourselves, because concerning those good works, think on the day of Pentecost, when those cloven tongues of fire have sat on the apostles, then they have seen those cloven tongues of fire upon their neighbor, their fellow brethren, but they have not seen them, although they have experienced it, the true life of grace, then a special fruit, that is that humility, and then concerning that praise, then the church each time by renewal may in this evening there be a guilty people in our midst. Also concerning the day of tomorrow with a confession of sin concerning the past season, but a begging, Lord, wilt thou grant what I cannot give unto myself, because the true child is not satisfied with form and duty. They desire what a Job has experienced in Job 23, verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft under all his goodness, under all his mercies, and for such an unthankful creature as I am, and therefore the necessity that the Lord may be praised, but further, and that he may be praised by us, but then also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Then the instructors are given to declare that a thankful, a humble life, that for such a one that they shall experience special tokens of the Lord's favor, much freedom at the throne of grace, much opening and instruction concerning the holy word of God, and further, that they learn that it all comes from above, every good gift, every perfect gift, as they read in James 1, verse 17, and that such a one shall experience much assurance, as the instructors have stated. We shall read it exactly. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. When there is one that is given to make a beautiful confession, but where it is not so evident by the fruits, then we have reasons to put a question mark behind it. Because in the life of a true child of God, when there is not that close and tender life, then that freedom shall be much taken away. And now concerning that assurance, then we have different examples in the Bible. Think of Abraham in Genesis 22. Concerning the offering of a son Isaac. And after the Lord has sent his angel, lay not thy hand upon the lad, and pointed to that ram that was laid and consumed on the altar, Then the Lord has come over and confirmed his promise concerning the promised seed, concerning the birth of Messiah. Think of Daniel in Daniel 9 and 10, where he was given to come before the Lord with the sins of the nation. He was included. He was given to beg. He was given to plead. And then we read an angel has come, that he was called the beloved one. And then he received much instruction concerning the kingdom of heaven. I read of Cornelius, that centurion, that he had devout soldiers. Bishop Ryle, and we have mentioned him different times, but it is proper that we hear it by renewal. Then he has stated very simply, but very profoundly, a Christian man that is not holy is an offense to God. It grieves the children of God. It is a riddle to the world and a joy to the devil. On the other hand, then we read of children of God that walk not so closely, not so tenderly. When we think of the high priest Eli, it is true concerning his personal life, still concern about the ark of God and his glory. But he restrained not his sons, and they were not disposed out of their office. And then concerning judgments, then in 1 Samuel 3, what that must have been for an Eli, that the Lord did not speak to the high priest, but that he spoke to that little Samuel concerning the judgments to come. But what a privilege that Eli did come on that place when Samuel was given to relate word for word what the Lord has told him, that he was given to bow. What is the Lord? He doeth what is good. Oh, think of David, where it was related, Nathan is told, that the name of the Lord was greatly blasphemed because of his sin. Further, then we read, and that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. And that word conversation, when our Bible was translated in those days, then that word had a narrower meaning, a wider meaning than it does today. Because when we speak of conversation, then we think of our speaking. But in the time when our Bible was translated, then that word meant our whole walk. Thus, by a godly walk, that others are won over for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that they are aroused to a holy jealousy. One of all this said in former days, that he believed that there were very few single conversions. Our third thought, good works are indispensable. Question 87. cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? What a solemn question, young and old. What a profound question. Also, when in the day of tomorrow we hope to meet together in God's house for a day of thanksgiving, should that not be the most important question? Oh, may the Lord use it, that it may enter many a heart. This written, cannot they then be saved who, continuing, how has it been in the past season? Have we continued, or have we been stopped and turned? And then there are two words used. They're wicked and ungrateful, unthankful lives. What an examination for the evening before Thanksgiving Day. Have we now continued, refused to listen, refused to turn from worldly ways, and continued unthankful lives, that for all the blessings which the Lord has given, health and strength, used it all for self, maybe even used it for sinful pleasures and sinful things, sinful songs, sinful pictures, that we have abused His mercies and are not converted. And then they have mentioned to God, can be somewhat of a change, but we need to be converted to God. And then the answer, by no means. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to take the question home, continuing with a wicked and ungrateful life under all the blessings and under all the callings. Oh, do we oftentimes think, what more must the Lord do for us and our children to bring on that rightful place a hating and a fleeing of sin and a need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, must you say that you have continued for another season? And then the answer, by no means, for the Holy Scriptures declare that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slander, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Thus the word of God declares that for such that do not turn to the Lord, that there is no room. And what shall we actually do in heaven when we have never learned to love the Lord in sincerity? What shall we then do in heaven? But now the instructors, they have spoken of continuing, oh, young and old. May it be the prayer for such that yet in this evening that it shall no longer continue, that everything may become reality. And when that happens, then also our unthankfulness becomes our guilt. All the mercies. And that we have done nothing but slap the Lord in his face. Abuse this mercy, but oh, young and old, the Lord is still gathering the church. It is not hopeless yet. Still in the day of grace. Oh, may the Lord grant that we may come together in the day of tomorrow, and that it truly must be given from above, that it may be a special and an unforgettable Thanksgiving Day, the Lord in a special way. Remember all the mourning families amongst us, strengthen and comfort them. And we shall close with the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, as saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. And then in this evening hour, it concerned Thanksgiving Day, the day of tomorrow, the day has been set aside when we may, still a privilege and a blessing, that we may still live in a country where the enmity against thy word, thy law, is greatly on the increase, that we may still freely gather. And Lord, may there be exercises concerning the same, concerning that thanksgiving. May there be those sires that may be given to beg of thee, that thou may grant what thou requires, and that is only possible through thee. Lord, we have heard solemn things, those that continue in their wicked and ungrateful lives. May it become their burden in this evening. May there be a few that may spend some sleepless hours begging of thee, personally, but for us and our dear children. Lord, wilt thou bring us safely to our homes, Watch over us in this night, and that we may meet one another in the day of tomorrow in thy house. But above all, that we may be given to beg of thee, that there may be a meeting with thee, that thou may manifest thyself, that thou may bestow precious gifts, to receive a humble and a broken heart, with that vehement desire, that thou mayest be praised to the highest. Lord, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 250, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thou, Lord, hast high exalted me with royal strength and dignity. With thy anointing I am blessed. Thy grace and favor on me rest. And what follows, Psalter 250, the stanzas 4 and 5.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.